This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
I'm Tony Bennett. Before I start, I would like to tell you a short, personal, and true story about Ping.
In 1959, Carsten designed a putter that he went on to call the 1A. This was probably the first putter ever designed by a professional engineer. It looked nothing like the golf world had ever seen. The head was made from material never used before in club making. The face was floating, attached only at the heel and toe. Carsten had invented perimeter weighting. He knew by moving the weight around the perimeter of the putter head, it would drastically minimize twisting on off-centered struck putts. The stable head produced a level of forgiveness and accuracy that made the game easier. With his first prototype design of the 1A putter, he drilled a hole in the head and put a shaft in it. When he putted a ball on the floor, the design made a ping sound. Carsten immediately recognized the significance of the sound. Not only was his new putter a step forward in putter design, it had a unique musical marketing angle and subsequently provided a distinctive name for the business. Ping. What other name could he call it?
Imagine that you played your first ever shot on the first fairway of the old course at St Andrews. For Mathieu Canoe, that was the reality of how he started his journey in golf. A journey that has seen him transfer his sporting affections from tennis to golf and has earned him national team colours for France. Mathieu has had individual success, becoming the leading player in Europe in 2014 after a string of victories, and collective success as part of the European Championship winning team on two separate occasions. But his journey has not just been about competition. Today, he has a career that revolves around the golf industry in his capacity as purchasing manager for Blue Green, the operator of 50 golf courses in France. Born with one hand, Mathieu is used to finding his own way of doing things, be that in music, sport, or other parts of his life. With parents that encourage Mathieu to try many things, playing the trumpet, guitar, and several sports, it is not surprising that he is self-reliant, self-taught, and looks for help only when he feels it necessary. It seems like he finds the competition with himself to be a source of motivation, be that the learning of a new skill or reaching new heights with those he has already developed. In Mathieu's own words, it's like he's a different person on the golf course than he was when he's off the golf course. Indeed, in this candid interview, he articulates his story, where he comes from and how he became the prolific golfer that he is today. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Hi Mathieu, it's nice to speak to you today. I know you're in snowy Paris right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me, Mathieu, you've had your disability since birth, and yet I know that as a youngster you played quite a lot of tennis and I think football, and you were quite into music, playing different instruments. It seems that your disability has not been any kind of problem for you for many of the activities. Is that true?
That's kind of true, I guess. I'd say thanks to my parents for making me do a lot of sports and other activities. I couldn't do everything because of my disability, but the question on how I would succeed in playing tennis or trumpet, I guess it did come up when I was young, but I always kind of find a way to play music or play in a sport of any kind. So if I can have an example, I played a few years of trumpet, which was an instrument that anyone can do even without a left hand. So I did succeed with that, but it was more of a challenge when I started to play guitar, because obviously, yep, you can guess that you need two hands.
Yep.
But I found a way, so I made kind of a brace around my left arm and with a pick, okay. Guitar pick. So I found a way to have fun. I was not really that good, but that's the more important. I did succeed in having fun in playing guitar.
So am I right then in saying that you played left-handed guitar?
Exactly.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about your tennis as well, because you were quite a good player, weren't you?
I played a lot, yeah, since I was 6 years old. So I played in quite a good level, I guess in England my level is 4.1, if that is something you understand.
No, because you're going to have to explain that one to me, because I don't understand that at all.
I think all countries have a way of having a tennis handicap, a level, and I think in England it's 4.1. It's quite a good regional level. But I guess I was a good player in training, but not that good in competitive tennis, because I didn't like the opposition with an opponent, right. Which I didn't find in golf. So I guess I'm better in competitive golf, because the main thing is to play against yourself first, and then play against the course.
Yep.
And I don't mind the other players around me. So that's a more suitable situation for me.
Right. And can you explain to me about what your disability is and how you felt when you first realized that you were a little bit different, or that you had a disability for that matter?
My disability is from birth, and I was born without a left hand, so I only have my right hand, and that's something I think in my age there's a few. If we look at Edgar players, there's a few that have a disability from birth, and it's something. I guess I realized when I was really little, and maybe too little to remember. But if I can remember some moments, I felt that disability. I guess it's when you are at school, around 10 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe the look that the other children around you have sometime, maybe it's the first moment in your life that you feel kind of a bit different.
Yeah.
But it can be different in a good way. Maybe not in that age, but when you grow older, that you feel better, you grow and you feel better about yourself, and maybe that difference becomes something positive and maybe a strength. So, yeah.
I've spoken to quite a few people over the course of doing these interviews, and it's been really interesting to hear, because I think with, as you say, it's at school and people look, and it seems like this is just a normal curiosity from the other kids.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nothing particular. It's just a curiosity, and it's almost like once it's explained to them, and this is the experience of some other players. Once it's explained to them, then it's just like, okay, fine, this is the way Mathieu is, or this is the way whoever is, and just get on with it.
And I think it's a normal reaction for children. Right now, I have some nephew, and they are around 7 years old, and that's the same curiosity they have, like all the children I've met. About this disability, because it's just something different, and yeah, they're just curious about it. There's nothing mean about their behavior.
No. And can you remember, as you were sort of going through school and maybe even thinking about leaving school, what it was that you first wanted to do for a living when you left school?
That was a hard thing for me to have a career plan. I did a few years of study I went to a master's degree, but in a lot of different fields. Mm-hmm. And I guess the last field I turned to was human resources management. But I actually never were only I only worked in that field for 6 months. So we can't say about myself that I can't say that I have a career plan. I guess it's my my passion for golf that gave me a job.
Just going back to what was it about human resource management that was kind of a bit of a turnoff?
My first time working in HR was in Australia, and it's really simple over there because the law is simple, the contracts and the administrative is simple, so you only focus on strategy, and that's the most for me interesting thing to work about in HR. Make people feel really engaged in the company. That's the main thing. But when I came back to France, and France is the opposite, right. There's a lot of difficulty in HR management in France because the law is really big. We have a lot of unions against a company when it wants change in the organization of your company. So there's a lot of difficulties, and you kind of stick to that administrative management when you work in HR in France, and that's a part that I don't like. So, and I guess I didn't find any job in strategy because I was kind of maybe too young to have that kind of job position. So I made a choice to leave that area and to work in a field that I know by playing golf. It's just the golf business in France. Mm-hmm. So I felt much better in that field.
Now I've got to backtrack here because there's got to be a story behind how you went from France to Australia.
Oh, it's just when I was young, I had the chance with my parents to live in different countries. I lived in Senegal for 8 years and in the US for 3 years. I did my A-level over there. When I was studying HR, we had a possibility of doing an internship abroad. And it's just a matter of chance in your life. There was a vacant job position in a French company in Sydney, and I just asked if I could get the job, and then they said yes. So that's just a really big kind of luck I have had when I was around 24 years old.
Right. I know you, because you travelled obviously quite a lot, as you just explained. But I know that you ended up visiting the home of golf, St Andrews, and then you started to play golf there. So how did that come about?
It was a vacation trip with my parents in Scotland. It was in 1998. We've just won the Football World Cup, so it's a big year for a French. Mm-hmm. And my dad and I, so we played a lot of tennis, but he was kind of having back hurts in playing tennis. He wanted to try golf because it's more simple for your body. He just wanted to try. So we ended up visiting St. Andrews, and he said, well, let's try golf. And we saw a golf course. Well, it was the old course. So we've tried golf over there. We went to see the starter, and he explained kindly to us how golf is supposed to be played. we borrowed, I think it was a 9-iron and a ball, and he told us to hit some ball from one another around 80 meters to be safe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we tried over there, and it was an automatic fun for me. It was from the start. It was really fun.
So, what was it about it? What was the thing that really got you? What about golf?
Well, the first for me is the location. I mean, you play a sport that is. I think you like it or you hate it. There's no in between in golf, mm-hmm. And you can love it also. And you always. You are always in a different place, and the most often a beautiful place. So that was the first thing for me. The second thing is that I find in the swing a really close thing to tennis, from a forehand in tennis for me. So I think it's the fact that I played golf quite easily the first time that got me. It's a really technical sport, and if you're struggling from the beginning and you don't improve, you can be frustrated. That was not the case for me. So I think that's the second thing that got me.
So am I right in thinking that the tennis that you played beforehand was helping you to transfer that your skill into golf?
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's the same. Yeah. I'm only working with my right hand. Mm-hmm. It was just a forehand that is more vertical. Right. For me, that's just the thing.
And when you see, I'll come back to your early years in a few minutes, but when you see golfers playing with one arm, do they know, because you mentioned forearm there, that it was very much like a forearm shot. Do mm-hmm. you see more people with one arm playing with forehand or backhand? Or is it about the same?
No. I think I hear a lot that if you are beginning golf and only playing with one hand, you should play a backhand. And I think it's more, it can be natural for some and not for others, but there's a thing about backhand that the swing, the club in space, it's more natural. When you play a forehand, when you're lifting the club, you don't know when you are in space.
Right.
That's the reason I started like that, and that's the reason I used my other arm, and it helped me only for one thing, to know when I am in space when I swing the club.
Right, because you started with just one arm, and then eventually you started to use your other arm there as a guide, as you mentioned.
Exactly, only as a guide, and maybe to do like the others. Maybe that's one thing you want to imitate what you see around you, and I said, okay, everybody is using two arms, so I'm gonna use two arms. Maybe that was a thing too.
And I mean, you became quite a good player very quickly. I think you reached sort of 14, 15 handicap, something of that order, after only about a year. That's pretty quick.
In stroke play, that's what I played. Quite regularly, in about 6 months, a year. But the reason is also that I played for the for 6 months in a short course, a pitch and putt.
Okay.
So that's the, for me, the most important thing when you start golf. Because that's the most shots you have, and the most important you have is around and on the green. So I guess I became a good chipper and putter because I played a lot mm-hmm. of pitch and putt. When you go to a regular golf course after that, a long course, maybe you're not very confident with your long game. But when you're around a green, it seems so much simple that the score that you make, even if you don't hit well, yep. the score becomes okay and regular.
Yeah. I mean, I must say that when I've watched you play, you seem to hit the ball very straight off the tee, which is always a good thing. And you have a very good short game from sort of, I would say, 50, 60 metres in. You look very good and very solid from that area. So that, you know, that's quite useful to hit the ball straight and have a good short game. It's a good way to play well.
I guess it's a strong point in my game. Yeah.
Have you had any coach to help you reach your potential, or has it been kind of self-taught? Or how's your development been?
I'm kind of self-taught because I think the first thing in my golf club, the pros were not really. Well, I didn't want to take lesson at first because I was improving on my own. And the pros, they, I think, were afraid a bit about taking lessons for me, giving me lessons. And the only time I asked for their help was when I was in a bad period of time in my swing and not knowing what I was doing. And the result was not that good, actually. They made me change my grip a lot of time. And, not in the simplest way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I tried a lot of things and that didn't work. So I kind of way I was sticking with my idea of working on my own. And I guess the only coach with results I have had was the French coach from the federation. We've had a few, and the last one is Frédéric Cupillard, and it's working really well.
Mm-hmm.
So improvement in making everything more simple on the way you play makes you progress, and that's not what I found when I was starting golf with the pros I had around me.
Is there any specific shots that you find particularly difficult?
Yes, of course, because I don't generate a lot of speed in my swing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can guess that when I am in a thick rough, it's kind of difficult to get out. But that's mainly the only thing hard for me. The beauty is that you can adapt your golf clubs, and I hit a lot of rescues and woods.
Yep.
So, like you said, I'm kind of straight, so I can hit a 7-wood from 150 or 160 meters to a green, and the clubs are so great right now that you can stop the ball on the green with a 7-wood. So that's great.
I guess that's to some degree a bit of an issue to try and get the ball to fly high and stop quickly. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess when you are working only with your right hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me the hardest trajectory you can try to make on a golf course is a high draw.
Right. Yeah.
Because physically it's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
I can do it, but only if I'm in a good shape.
Yeah.
But so when the natural trajectory for me is a low fade or a low ball. Yeah.
When you've played a lot of golf with, I mean, just able-bodied players, you know, regular club competitions. That was even before you started to play golf with disabled players, which you do obviously from time to time. How did you find out about golf for the disabled in the first place?
I played, I think, for 7 or 8 years in a golf club in the west of France with everyone, and I was in the regular team. With their help, I heard about disabled competition, and at first I didn't want to take a part of it. I said to myself, I'm playing quite good with able people, able players, so why trying to make things different? And I got invited to a disabled pro-am near Nantes, and I felt really welcome over there, and the spirit was great. It was like a big family, and that's the first thing that got me play with Andy Golf in France, and that's because everything was really in a good spirit and in the a good spirit of development for disabled golf in France. So
right.
I tried to play at the French Championship. It was in 2007.
Well, you've won several of those, I know, over the years. But do you still play a fair amount of regular club golf today?
Unfortunately, no. But that's not that I don't want to, but it's just the time. I don't have time anymore to be on the golf course every weekend. And you know, when you work in the golf business, mm-hmm. when you work all week long in that field, you hear about golf, you don't want to play during the weekend. And when I talk to my colleague about that, they feel the same way.
Yeah.
So I kind of play less, but I try to play with more intelligence,
right?
And train with more intelligence.
Well, you're one of the top players, and obviously you've won many events. And in fact, in 2014, you were the leading player on the Order of Merit. And how have you managed to reach such a consistently high level, not practicing perhaps quite as much as some of the other players?
Well, in that year, I remember. I said to myself, "Okay, I'm gonna have 1 year and I'm gonna give myself all the chance I can get to be a better player." So, in 2014, during the winter, I played every weekend a lot, mainly on courses. I didn't stick to a driving range.
Right.
That's not suitable for me. I like to have fun and train on a golf course because that's where you play.
Yeah.
And during the week, also after work, I went around the green, chip and putt a lot. So I gave myself the best chance I could get, and the result came automatically. So there's no chance. If you want to win, you have to work a lot.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's something I couldn't do the year after. But I'm really happy that I was able to win that Order of Merit and win two tournaments. And I think I did only a top three position in every tournament that year. So that was a great year.
Yeah, and the years still keep coming very good, because I know that last year you were in the French team at the European yep. Team Championship, and so that's the second time that you've been in the winning team. So, can you explain to me a little bit how the two wins were different?
It's really different. It's the part when where golf becomes not an individual sport, but a collective sport. And that's a real strong point in the French team, because we are really a family, and we are all friends and we just love to play with each other. Mm. And when you're playing a foursome and or a greensome, that's the first thing you wanna have. We did win in 2013, but we didn't have a foursome and greensome, so that was kind of different. It was only singles.
Yeah, yeah.
But last year, on the paper, I can say easily we were not the best team because there's a lot of people playing individually really well and working a lot. Some of them are only playing golf all year long, so they have time to train.
Yeah.
Our team is different. We all work, but we kind of have the same age and same spirit with golf, and it's only amateur golf, so when we play, we love to play. And I guess we were really well prepared as well, because the French Federation gave us a lot of help to come in Quinta do Lago 6 months before the competition and know the course perfectly. Mm-hmm. Because it was a hard course, and everything came up to a win that was really close with the Spanish guys.
It was very close, wasn't it?
Very close. You can't get closer because it was a tie. But yeah, I think we are good in golf when it becomes a collective sport.
You mentioned earlier that you work in golf. Can you tell us what it is that you do?
I work for a golf management company. It's called Blue Green. And they manage 50 golf courses in France, and I had a few job positions over there, but my position right now is what they call a purchasing manager, and that's I'm mainly managing the relationship with all the suppliers that Blue Green is working with.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly in a technical and turf area, so mainly buying mowers, managing green constructions, and all that stuff.
And that's for the group?
Oh, yeah, for the group. I work at the head office of Blue Green,
uh-huh.
which is close to Paris. And we kind of are a technical support service for all the golf courses that we have in France.
Well, I mean, I know that you do that as a full-time work, but you also help to popularize competitive golf for the disabled. So what are the challenges that you face to make this part of the mainstream sport? It is part of the mainstream sport, but to make it even more.
Last year, I wanted to help a bit because when you work in a golf management business in France, you kind of know the people that can help grow the game and grow the game for the disabled as well. So what we see is that with the French Federation and Aurélien and Thierry Godino, which are part of the Disabled French Commission, what we see is that actually people managing golf clubs are really keen on welcoming us and organizing a competition for us, which was something we didn't know about. So that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we decided to create two Grand Prix, what they call is the French disabled competition, disabled golf competition. And we said, okay, we were going to make a test and see how it goes. And actually, we had a lot of golf courses calling us and tell us, come to my place. I want to organize something for you. So that was great. So that's not a difficulty for us. The difficulty you can get when you organize that kind of tournaments, you need a lot of golf carts, and the budget is not the same as a regular competition.
Right.
So the budget is bigger. You need hotels. You need maybe like people are coming from different parts of France.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be close to an airport or something. So there's a lot of particularities in organizing that kind of competition that is growing the budget that you need. So you need sponsors, and that's a lot of work finding sponsors. But in the mind of every golfers in France, disabled golf is a common thing. People know about it. They know about the results the French team is doing, and a lot of people know that it's possible to play golf when you're disabled. So that's a big thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you've done a good job of that in France. And certainly, I think you're right, is that it is really now very much just part of the sport. What have you learnt about yourself by playing golf?
I learned a lot. I learned that maybe you are not the same guy on the course that when you are in regular life. I learned that maybe, and that's because of that I have had, and I will have a lot of good results. I think of me as a better person on the course because we have a lot of everyone has strong points, and maybe in real life I kind of get impatient, and when I want something, maybe in my job or in life, I want to get it quite rapidly, quickly. On the golf course, I kind of get really, really patient, and that's a good thing if you want to have a good score in golf and win a tournament. You have to be as patient as possible, and I become that guy when I play golf. So it made me have some character character thing that I didn't find maybe possible.
I think anybody who sees you on the golf course looks at you as being very calm, very focused, steely competitor.
But you can ask my girlfriend. She will tell you that I'm not the same on the course or in real life. But I think that's something you can work on. And if you want to be a better golfer, there's a lot of character types that you need to try to have, and patience and being focused and thinking about it's never lost.
Yep.
That's kind of something I always keep in my mind.
Yep.
I fight until the end,
mm-hmm.
until the last putt. That's something when I started golf, I couldn't do, but now I can because I work on that. That's something you can work on.
Did you have any heroes or role models as you started your progress through your career as a golfer or even as a tennis player, perhaps?
Maybe more as a tennis player because I watched a lot of tennis when I was around 10 or 14 years old. And during that time, there was like Pete Sampras or Pat Rafter, because I liked those kind of aggressive players because it was my kind of play on the tennis court.
Yeah.
They made me dream about being a better tennis player, but So it became the same with golf when I started. And obviously, when you see someone doing that great in a sport like Tiger Woods did, and maybe he's going to do more, when you see someone like Tiger Woods, he can be a role model. Yeah, that's for sure. But I was never into being a fan, an enormous fan of any players. I just like some of them.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. And of all the things that you've learned from playing golf, is there maybe two or three takeaways that you think other people might be able to learn from?
Yes, I like that sport for children. I think it was a good education for me. When you're a teenager and you play golf, maybe it helps you become a man with a good education, understanding about how you behave around of everyone, because on the course you're not alone, so you have to. The first thing when I play first competition is I didn't want to disturb anyone around me.
Right.
That's the first thing. I think it's important. Even if you play poor golf,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is that you're not alone, so you have to behave. And it was the same education I had with music when I was a child. So it was hard work, and how to endure hard work in music, in sport, and that's kind of related. So I think golf is mainly a great education for children.
Is there any goals or objectives that you've got in golf that you'd be prepared to share with us?
Of course. I guess we are now. We have a great European Championship, but I see in the future for greater tournaments, maybe a World Championship one day. I think the biggest goal would be to play in the Paralympic team one year,
mm-hmm.
and maybe in Paris. We never know.
Is there any adjustments that you would make to make the game more friendly for golfers with disability, and why would you do that?
For golf with disability, there's not much to do apart from having buildings, clubhouses adapted to every disabilities. But the course is the same for everyone. You just adapt with the tees and the length of the course. So that's something simple to adapt. But I think the game needs to grow for everyone, able or disabled. It needs to grow, especially in France, because we are not in... We don't have a big golf education, golf culture in France, and it's the same for every Latin countries in Europe, I think. We need to have that sport. We need to be able to play much quicker and with different formula. For example, the company I work for, Blue Green, has developed a way to play and pay only for every hole that you play. Because 18 holes, the standard 18 holes is really too long for everyone to have time to play golf.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to make it more affordable. Even if I can tell you a lot about that, because that's my job, but it's a cost to have a good shaped golf course. So if you have that kind of cost, it's not a tennis court, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a cost, so you can't lower the cost of a green fee that much, but you can work on having it more affordable for everyone. So there's a lot of ways you can grow the game, and I think it's going to be by changing the standard formula of play.
Just before I move into some just general questions to finish off, is there anything that you'd like to discuss that until now we've not touched upon?
Not really. I just wanted to say that if I still play for disabled golf and in France or in Europe, or maybe someday in other countries, is that I feel being a part of the development of that great game, not only as a player, and it's a big interest for me. And I think the things are moving in a good way, in a really good way. If I can remember the first Edgar tournaments I've played, it's there's no comparison with the way the tournaments are organized right now. It's really more professional. Mm-hmm. And if I can say something, is that the best thing we've had is that EGA has been interesting in this Ebogor, because we've won the European Championship last year for a reason as well, because we only talk about sports, and that's the yeah. biggest thing for me.
Yeah,
we will always have thinking about everyone about disabled golf like it's something amazing, but usually for disabled sports, it's not only sports. It's something social. It's something. It's a great lesson of courage. You hear a lot of things that maybe we would like not to hear anymore, and we just, as players, we want to talk about golf and the way we play, and if it's a great level of play, we are happy, and we're trying to improve our level in sports. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it was certainly a lesson to me when I started to get involved with golf for the disabled, is that it wasn't about being inspirational to other people. Although, having said that, the players are inspirational to other people that have a similar situation. And I'm sure that, and we have spoken to several players only last week in a tournament where they actually started to play the game because they saw a video or because they heard about somebody else who was playing with a similar disability. And sure. So there is that element of inspiration, I guess. But certainly what you've said is that I'm 100% in line with. So it's just some general questions. So is there anything about you that might surprise us, other than the fact that you play trumpet, you play guitar, that you travelled, that you went to Australia, Senegal, plenty of things that surprise us. Anything else that might surprise us?
Yeah, there's one thing that's kind of funny. I guess it was a few years ago, so... There's like we say in France, prescription. When I started to play golf, so it was in St. Andrews, and actually we didn't quite speak English really well with my dad, and the first ball we've hit, thanks to the starter, like I said, was on the first fairway and the 18th fairway of the whole course. Really? So you can understand that we got kicked out really fast. So the guy, well suited and on his golf cart, told us to go play on the beach. So which was great, because we went on the beach. It was kind of cold, but we had a lot of space to play golf.
Tell me, which piece of your golf equipment gives you the most joy, Mathieu?
There's a few, but if I can pick one, it would be a wedge. Because I think when you are around the green, that for me, the part of a golf course where you can become... artistic, because the situation is never the same.
Yep.
And obviously that's a strong point for me, but that's a strong point because I like to be on that position. I like it to be hard around the green and try to create a shot.
Yeah.
And that's the place where I feel more comfortable. And the harder it is, the better it is for me.
Gets you focused and concentrated, I guess.
Yeah. That would be a wedge for me.
And if you could play a four ball with anybody, dead or alive, and you don't even have to know whether they play golf or not, let's just assume that they play, who would your three playing companions be and why?
Oh, there would be a good golfer, a famous one. But if I can pick one, I don't know them, but I would choose a really good player, which is really fun, because I don't want to be stuck for 5 hours with a good player, which is not fun.
Right.
So I don't know, let's say Rory McIlroy, maybe. Okay. I'm sure it's fun.
So that's one?
That's one. So I need two more. I would pick Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix, right.
I'm sure he didn't play golf, but if he could play, I would have liked to have the chance to have a game with him, because
yep.
I just love his music.
Yep.
And the last one, that's a tough question. Maybe a tennis player.
Okay.
Maybe one. Roger Federer. I know he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I know he is. So, yeah, that would be my four ball.
Very good. Just a couple of questions to finish off with. So, what does golf mean to you?
It means a lot. I cannot describe with a few words or one word, but because it gave me something to grow in my life as a passion. It's more than a sport for me, because I played so much. So it's really a part of my life. And you can understand when you hear that I'm working on that area. Gave me a passion and a job, so it's a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a too big of a part. So I try right now to stick to loving playing golf.
Yep.
With mainly Edgar tournament.
Yep.
But the time, if one day it becomes too much, I would maybe make a stop. But it didn't happen, so let's play, that's it.
Well, long may it continue that you continue to play, because you're certainly one of our competitors that really people like to play with and enjoy watching you play. If you could magically, this is really my last question, but if you could magically be with someone who has a similar disability to you, mm-hmm. what advice would you want to offer them?
Just for golf, or any advice?
No, I think for both. I think for golf, but mainly for life, really, because this is something that is with you all the time, and you deal with your disability in an extremely positive way, and how you just get on with life.
Well, that's funny, because I have had a few person I've met with the same disability that in their time started golf, but didn't pick up with it or liked it that much. But what I saw in them was that, like me, they did a lot of activities and they become really good at them. I know someone, he was a colleague of mine, so he was born without a right hand. And he's great at playing piano. And I never saw myself playing a piano.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I never heard him play, but other colleagues of mine did. And they said he was great. So I think I don't have any advice, because they are like me, and they made... they made their life trying as well to do what they could with different activities. And I guess you can do anything, because when I hear someone with one hand playing a great as a piano player, it's it's just amazing. So for life, I don't have any advice, but for golf, if I want to start, I would advise to start like me, maybe start one-handed, and maybe try to use the other arm. I know other players with the same disability that chose only to play with one arm, and they play great. So there's not one way to play. So you can try to create and see what is suitable for you, and see the results after that.
I guess there's two words that's come out of this more than any others. One of them is create, which you just used.
Yes.
And it seems like you're not frightened to create, and in fact you enjoy creating.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that comes out for me is that it's really an experiment. It's to try. And
yes,
there is no failure. It's just a result at the end of it. You experiment, there's a result, you look at the result, and you change and you try to find another way. You create some way to be able to achieve what it is that you want to achieve.
Exactly.
If, Mathieu, it's been fascinating to speak to you. I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry for my not such a good voice, but this is the time of the year for the coughs and the colds.
Yeah.
But if people would like to reach you, how can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Facebook. I have a personal profile, but I made a profile for sharing my golf tournament results and other information. They can find me on Facebook on a Facebook page, which is called Mathieu Cono Handy Golf. But if they can, if they want to send me an email, I can be reached at mcono@yahoo.fr. So it's I don't know if I have to spell it, maybe.
Oh, we'll make sure we put it in the show notes at the end.
Okay.
So, Mathieu,
so no, again, with pleasure. If someone wishes to have information, they can send me an email or answer quickly.
Right. Well, Mathieu, again, thank you very much for your time. I know it's a little bit later then than it is for me here, so. Thank you very much for your time. I'm sure it's probably around about your dinner time now. So enjoy your
exactly.
dinner. And,
thank you.
Hopefully we'll see you very soon in one of the tournaments that's coming up on the Edgar calendar. Thank you very much, Mathieu. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This was an Edgar Player story supported by Ping, helping golfers to play their best. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Stay tuned for the next Edgar podcast. Ping. Play your best.